This episode of the WPR Politics Podcast was recorded on October 24th in front of a live audience in Waukesha.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Laurel. Oh, hey, Laurel.
So, you have any plans for this weekend?
Yeah, but, I'm kind of stressed out about it, actually. Yeah, so I want to go see Rambo Last Blood, right? But I haven't seen the first Rambo movies, and I'm not going to be able to follow the plot in Rambo Last Blood unless I watch all the other ones. So I got to watch First Blood, I got to watch Rambo First Blood 2, I got to watch Rambo 3, and I got to watch Rambo.
Dude, I feel you. Last year when Creed 2 came out, I wanted to watch it, but I hadn't seen any of the Rocky movies. So I had to watch Rocky, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, Rocky 5, Rocky Balboa, and Creed.
Yeah, but it's not even just that, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like the news lately.
Yeah.
Like, I want to catch up with what happened in the latest Wisconsin Supreme Court hearing the lame duck lawsuits this week.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many cases, and there have been so many hearings, and like, I can't just jump into the latest one. I got to start from the beginning.
It's cool. I got you. I covered the hearing this week. I can walk you through it.
All right.
Oh, cool. Let's do a podcast about it.
Right,
this is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, we binge watched the latest lame duck case. While most people might know that as the Rocky theme, it's actually called Gonna Fly Now, and it was composed by a man named Bill Conti in 1977 for the release of the first Rocky film.
You didn't know that till you binge-watched all
no,
the Rocky
sir,
movies
I did
last
not.
Year, right?
No.
That is a fun fact.
It's a treat.
Yeah.
So how about the latest lame duck case?
Whew. So, I think in the intro I called it a hearing, but really it was oral arguments before the state Supreme Court. And it was oral arguments on Monday in the second of two state cases against December's lame duck session of the state legislature.
So, not to be confused with two federal cases against the lame duck session
right.
of the legislature.
Should we, like, just real quick start from the beginning?
When
we
say stepping back a little bit, what
just
is the lame duck
case? Cases?
Yeah, so, well, should we do a quick, what was the lame duck session really quick, and then we'll
Real
do the,
quick,
lame,
yeah.
the lame duck case. Okay, lame duck session was held in December, obviously after Governor Tony Evers was elected. The Republican-controlled legislature under former Governor Walker came in and passed a series of laws that took away some powers from Governor Evers and took away some powers also from the Democratic Attorney General-elect Josh Call. So after this happened, four different lawsuits were filed, two in state court and two in federal court, making different arguments as to why some of the laws passed during the lame duck session were unconstitutional, either federally or stateside.
All right, so how many movies are there in the lame duck series?
I would watch it. So do you want me to walk through like what each case is briefly and like kind of what the...
Yeah, so there's four.
Mm-hmm. So there's four. So the two state cases are the League of Women Voters case and then the Service Employees International Union case. That second one is the one that had arguments on Monday, and we'll talk more about that later. The two federal cases are the One Wisconsin Institute case and the Democratic Party of Wisconsin case. I think before we talk more about them, we should note that two are already done. They are behind us. That is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin case. That's one of the federal ones. It was dismissed by a federal judge. He said that essentially there wasn't standing. It was an argument that needed to be made in state court instead of federal court. So he threw that out entirely. He didn't even hear arguments. He just made a decision based on the filing. The other case that's done is a state case that went all the way to the state Supreme Court. That's the League of Women Voters case. And the state Supreme Court ruled in favor of Republicans several months ago.
I vaguely remember that one because I did cover that. And it was just basically, yeah. You can't have extraordinary sessions was that argument. And the state Supreme Court said, no, that you can have them. That's
right.
Up to the legislature.
Well, that was a really interesting argument because that wasn't as much about the laws passed during the lame duck session, but sort of how the lame duck session was called. It was a procedural argument. So they said that the legislature didn't have the authority to actually call itself in the way that it did.
Okay, and so there's the one other federal case that's still kind of hanging out there has still locked up the changes that they made to voting laws.
Yep.
So the changes, there were new restrictions on early voting. Those are still basically blocked in a federal case. A federal court of appeals has not done anything with the court or with the appeal on that, which is unusual. We don't know why. Just hasn't happened. Which leads us to
the newest release are the arguments that happened on Monday. So that was in the SEIU case. This is a case brought by the Service Employees International Union, union group. And their argument here is that some of the laws passed during the lame duck session violate the state constitution's separation of powers guarantee by illegally infringing on some of the rights of the executive branch, which, you know, the governor and, in the case's contention, the attorney general.
Okay, and so this case, though, on that heard was in arguments this week, seemed to really be the arguments seemed to really be focused on the attorney general's power specifically.
Yeah.
And I think in a pretty interesting way.
Why are we nerding out about this these oral arguments before the state Supreme Court?
Well, here's what caught my attention, because I did watch some of this a little bit, is that there was discussion of a fourth branch of government, okay?
Yeah.
That got my attention.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Everybody
really
remembers their Schoolhouse Rock episode. That was about, the federal government. But the same generally applies to state government in Wisconsin, too. There are three branches of government, at least.
Well, not in the argument in this case. So the lawyer representing the Republican legislature says the state constitution is really unique in that it departs from the federal constitution in a really meaningful way, in that it has this designation of certain offices in Wisconsin, including the attorney general, under this chapter. I think it's chapter 6, section, not going to say it, but chapter section something. What month is it? That's not going to make any sense for people listening only to this one episode. We'll cut that out later.
Everybody listens to every episode
right.
We do.
Yes, true. So basically what they're arguing is there's this special section of the state constitution that talks about administrative offices. That's where the attorney general falls. Therefore, he's part of a fourth branch of government called the administrative branch. And therefore, the lame duck laws don't infringe upon him, because the lame duck laws in this argument were infringing on the executive branch. Did everybody get that?
So,
it's a little wonky, right?
So SEIU, this union, brings the case and says, hey, this thing that we all know about, separation of powers, they have been violated here. Mm-hmm. And the legislature, the attorney for the legislature, is saying, actually, you've been looking at it all wrong. There is a fourth branch. And the other argument that I heard articulated by the lawyer for the legislature is that essentially, it's kind of like that the attorney general sort of answers to the legislature, right?
Yeah.
Like it's an administrative office that answers to the legislature, which answers to the people. There's not, it's not that the attorney general is elected by the people and gets to make his or her own calls. It's that no, they're an administrative office, and the legislature is really the voice of the people.
Yeah, so what I thought was really interesting, and one of the things that I thought was interesting about these arguments that I didn't know about the state constitution, is actually written in the constitution, is that the legislature gives the attorney general in Wisconsin all of the office's duties. So there's very little in the constitution written about what the attorney general should be responsible for. It just says the attorney general's responsibilities will be dictated to the office by the legislature. So in the process of these arguments, lawyers said, if the legislature can give the attorney general all of his or her power, then how does this balance of power play out? The legislature can't be violating that if it's something that they can give and take away. So that's really kind of the heart of this argument, is sort of like, do you define the attorney general in the executive branch or not? And we got about an hour and a half of that on Monday. And it was really fascinating because there was so much oxygen taken for this particular argument when it wasn't necessarily the focus of what we covered or what people talked about the lame duck session. I think there were other really big things that people took away.
It made me wonder if the court was focused on something a little different, you know? Mm-hmm. And you always have to be a bit cautious about reading. You know, I feel like you have to say this about every case. Don't read too much into oral arguments. You know, sometimes they're just playing devil's advocate.
As a reporter, that's sort of what it's fun to do.
It's what you do in oral arguments,
right? And listen to the arguments and think, this justice, who we know to be on this side of things, is asking these questions. What could that mean in terms of the breakdown of the court and how things are going to come out? You know, we try to guess what's going to happen.
Well, you've got a whole group of people, you know, sort of watching the justices and watching sort of the subject matter that they focus on and the kind of question that they ask and the tone, even the tone that they sort of ask it in. And so you can sort of see, you know, as they're... you know, sometimes you see this in the legislature, a little bit of a leading question, you know, that indicates how you want someone to answer or how it kind of gives a little bit of insight into where your head's at. I think that was happening a little bit in oral arguments on Monday.
But there were a couple justices that I kind of paid particular attention to where maybe it was a plot twist in this movie, right? Justice Annette Ziegler, one of the court's conservatives, you know, she seemed... at least to be skeptical of some of the arguments that were being advanced by the attorney for the legislature.
Mm-hmm. And I think Justice, kind of in a similar coin, conservative Justice Daniel Kelly, raised some concerns about, we talked about the legislature giving the attorney general powers, right? He said, okay, the legislature has the power to take away the attorney general's powers, but is there anything in the state constitution that says when those powers are taken away, where they go? And if the legislature can rightfully take those over.
And like if it was Captain Planet and the powers, when they're not combined, come back into the rings of the Planeteers?
Is that how that happens?
I think so. That's just the image that came into my head.
Yeah, so if Captain Planet had the power to settle lawsuits on behalf of the state, when those powers are withdrawn from him, where do they go? And is it appropriate for the legislature to take that power? Because I think maybe we've glossed over that point, but the big thing with the attorney general is that now there's this stipulation under the lame duck laws that the legislature has to approve anytime he wants to settle a lawsuit involving the state. And so justices were focusing on that and saying, you know, to what extent is the legislature having a seat at the table at this argument versus sort of like taking over the entire table when it comes to settling lawsuits involving the state, which can sometimes be millions of dollars. We know a number of states have settled opioid lawsuits recently. They're pretty high stakes.
Yeah, so can the legislature just like sometimes disagree with the attorney general and, you know, hire their own lawyer as they have here?
Mm-hmm.
Or can the legislature kind of tell the attorney general what to do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
One other like sort of plot, not plot twist, because we don't know what's going to happen right yet. Like, but one other cliffhanger here in this movie is that
did the Rambo
is it even
movies
a cliffhanger?
Or the
it's
or
foreshadowing.
The Rocky movies that, like, have plot twists or cliffhangers or anything? I feel like they're pretty well known for not having.
They truly have cliffhangers to have all these sequels.
I have watched zero of these movies
well, it's either
on our
like
list in
Rambo
front of us.
Rambo dies or doesn't die, or Rocky gets beat or doesn't.
I mean, I assume I know how the Rocky movies go, but I do not, like, I cannot
Did
actually
he lose
verify
to a
this.
Russian guy?
I think he won, generally, was the Rocky.
I think we need to have a Rocky watch
I think the formula
party.
In the Rocky movies was Rocky wins in the end. This I'm pretty sure of, but maybe I'm wrong on that. Now, one thing I guess we don't know is, I guess what I was getting at is, there is a new justice on the court, Brian Hagedorn, a conservative. So... Let's say, and again, we don't know what Justice Annette Ziegler thinks about these cases.
I guess real quick, we haven't said specifically either, for folks who aren't as steeped in court watching, what the ideological breakdown is real quick.
Yeah, it's a 5-2 conservative majority right now. So Annette Ziegler, we don't know what she thinks about this case, but a few months ago, basically, you know, when we had a 4-3 conservative majority on the court, Annette Ziegler's skepticism, you know, perhaps if she were to join with the courts, liberals, it could swing a case. Now, it would take somebody like Justice Ziegler and somebody else, because there's a 5-2 conservative majority on there. And so, you know, it could open the door for this court to, I guess, consider bigger ideas. You know, what is the attorney general? How does the attorney general work in Wisconsin? What were the framers thinking in 1848? You know, they have a little leeway now.
Is there an administrative branch of government?
Right.
And to finish that thought real quick, where you were going, that new member of the court.
It's Justice Brian Hagedorn, who won his election earlier this year.
April.
Yeah. Seems so long ago.
You got that month right.
Good job. There you go. Here's one interesting thing I am entertained by with the lame duck movies, is that there is a character in these movies who he has a complex history. Misha Saitlin, the attorney for the legislature, he is a private attorney now. He was just last year the solicitor general in the attorney general's office. He worked for the attorney general. He was basically
when the attorney general
was a Republican, Brad Schimmel. Misha Saitlin was a very prominent person within the Department of Justice, and probably thought, hey, the DOJ should have lots of power in this state. He now works for the legislature, and I mean, this happens a lot in law. You take the position of your client, but here he is a year later saying, you know, really, the attorney general, it kind of depends on how you look at it, justices, and the legislature really should have a bigger seat at this table.
The question I have, and we can cut this if the answer isn't a good one, but out of genuine curiosity, the justices and the arguments are focusing so much on the stuff about the attorney general, and while the case seems to face a pretty uphill battle with a conservative-leaning court, if the case were to, if the suit were to prevail, is there some sort of scenario where not all of the lame duck stuff was overturned, but like, say, just the attorney general stuff is overturned? Or are we, like, if the case was decided on attorney general stuff, all the governor stuff and everything else that was passed in the lame duck session would also get thrown out, even though things were focused on the attorney general?
We're entering the world of speculation here,
I was getting ready to answer, and Sean started to wiggle, which means he wanted to get in first.
Well, I would say, like, I have this feeling like this is going to be one of those opinions you're going to want to read, because like when you go into arguments and you're hearing stuff from the attorney and from the justices that you maybe didn't expect to hear, and they're exploring ideas about what the framers meant in 1848, I think you might want to read this decision when it comes out, and because some of them may want to say, actually, here's the way state government works, and others may not, and I think it's going to be maybe a case of concurring with his opinions, dissents, you know, like kind of like a really thick, set aside some time for this one.
Yeah, because obviously justices can, you can have multiple opinions of people mostly agreeing with each other, right? But they have kind of their own reasons for it, so they issue different opinions. So there could be a lot of layers of that. I think a more straightforward answer is like there are two things that they could do with this case. They could decide it, but they could also send it back to a lower court, which I think is kind of interesting. That's something that the lawyer representing the governor, actually, Lester Pines, pushed for pretty aggressively. He said he wanted to send it back to a lower court to do more fact-finding. He wanted more evidence to be presented about one kind of wonky part of the lame duck laws that require more public input and things on things called guidance documents that are issued by the administration, things like informational booklets. Under the lame duck law, there are some more requirements that the legislature puts on the Evers administration for those things that the administration says are really onerous and makes it difficult to do their job. So
Lester Pines always getting the juicy parts in these movies, like pushing for, you know, being remanded back to the lower courts for guidance documents.
Yeah. Guidance documents. Whew, so exciting. Why didn't we spend the whole podcast talking about guidance documents? But so there is that possibility. I think the other thing to note, just in terms of what happens after this decision, because there is still that other federal case that has to do with the voting laws, those elements of the lame duck session would still remain blocked as we're awaiting that federal decision from Chicago. So regardless of what happens with this case, that's still kind of floating off on its own.
I like that we're all more generally familiar with the lame ducks lawsuits than we are the actual Rocky and Rambo movies. So
yeah, that was made very clear.
Good on us.
That says something about us, I think.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Neither Rocky nor Rambo has anything on us. Our original podcast has more than 100 sequels, and we churn out a new one almost every single week. If you want to catch the freshest ones, all you have to do is subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can also find the show on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps, and you can binge all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.